Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. Dog person, cat person, bunny, ferret, turtle, guinea pig, gerbil, a hamster, whatever kind of person you are, if you are thinking about adding a cute little furry or scaly something to your family, you should know it comes with a cost. But just how much do you need to budget when it comes to bringing in and caring for a pet? To take a closer look at some of these costs, we're joined by Dr. Matthew Richardson. He is a veterinarian and owner of the Animal Clinic in Toronto. He is also the president of the Ontario Veterinary Medical Association. Hello there.
Hello, Bruce. How are you?
This is both a really practical conversation. We're going to talk about numbers and an irrelevant conversation. And I say irrelevant because I now have a cat and I would probably mortgage my own house for his care. So there's this theoretical, like, let's talk about the money, but really I would, you know, remove my own kidneys to pay for something for my ridiculous cat. How would you put this conversation in context? Because I think a lot of pet owners are like me, like this is not a rational, logical discussion when it comes to caring for a pet.
Fair enough. I mean, we get pets because we want that unconditional love that they provide. We like, there's often something about, you know, the way they look or the way they act or a thing that they do that we find absolutely endearing. And, you know, once we get it in our minds that this is what we want, it can be really hard to sort of think about the practical aspect, which is, you know, Can I afford this pet, and does it fit with my lifestyle? Both of which I think are really important questions that ideally people would be asking before they got their heart set on something.
There is the initial cost. You could adopt a pet either informally or through a rescue, and then there are breeders. So the spectrum is quite wide in terms of that. What is the most expensive breed or pet expense you have ever seen? Like, is my chin going to drop to the floor here?
Probably. I mean, there are some sort of boutique breeds, I would call them, things like fluffy French bulldogs, which are, you know, depending on where you get them from, I have seen quoted anywhere from $5,000 to $25,000, for a single individual. You know, those would be sort of the extreme things. And they tend to follow social media popularity to some extent, I think. And novelness and newness, right?
Right.
Often they're the must-have pet of the cabbage patch pet, if you will.
Right. So I'm gonna divide our costs into three categories. The initial purchase, the kind of get set, you know, year one kind of thing, and then some of the ongoing costs of owning a pet, but it focused on veterinary care because we know there is food and grooming and dog walking and cat sitting and, you know, all those sorts of things. That first year, there can be shots and spaying and neutering and all that stuff. Broadly speaking, how much should people think about for that first year?
So for the first year, I would say, you know, you're probably looking, depending on the age, a lot of it depends on the age you get your pet at and what the breeder has done in advance of you adopting it, right? So generally speaking, dogs and cats would have three sets of boosters somewhere around the 8, 12, and 16 week marks. If your pet has had all of those shots beforehand, that's going to be, you know, fewer expenses for you. But I would say, generally speaking, you should be thinking of, you know, in the $300 to $500 range for those vaccines, deworming, fecal testing to make sure they don't have any parasites, that sort of thing. Depends also, is it going to be if it's a dog, you probably need to think about parasite medications, depending on their lifestyle and where they're going to go. If they're a outdoor cat, you need to think about flea and parasite medications for them as well. Things like microchipping. And then the neuter and spay can vary widely, depending on whether, probably at one end of the spectrum, you would have something like going to a spay neuter clinic where it would be relatively inexpensive, all the way up to, laparoscopic spays, which are sort of the cutting edge of spay neuter care right. these days. And those would be, I don't know those numbers off the top of my head because that's not a service that I provide.
But more.
It's considerably more.
So then as you think about the ongoing, I'm going to make a guess that many pets are reasonably healthy from, let's say many cats and dogs are reasonably helpful from, 1 to 10 years old. So if we say that there's an aging period in which there may be more cost for that period of time, and you may say it's a different age range, what should people think about in terms of veterinary care on an annual basis, provided your dog does not get into chocolate? There is no fight at the dog park. There is no, cataracts early. What should you think about in terms of an annual cost?
I think, generally speaking, I would recommend 1 to 2 visits to the vet every year just for a checkup, make sure everything looks good. Everything is, there's no concerns. There's no abnormal lumps, bumps, dental issues, ear infections, things that sometimes sort of fly under the radar with people. Depending on the lifestyle of the pet and the home life of the pet, if there are young kids in the house, I very strongly encourage all dogs to have a fecal test done once a year because parasites can be passed from from pets to humans, and our little humans aren't always the best at respecting certain boundaries on our pets, and aren't the best at recognizing good hand hygiene, right? So fecal testing, some blood testing, and parasite medication. I mean, I would think, people should be thinking a number around $1,000 a year for all of that would be my,
And then there are all the exceptions, which you see all the time, because people bring you their pets for maintenance, for checkups, but they also bring you pets who need acute care. What advice do you have for people to think through those, how to think through those expenses in what is just can be such a deeply emotional time? And there is, the quality of life for the pet is a factor. The cost is a factor. The prognosis is a factor. I'm sure there are many other factors that I haven't even thought of. What advice do you go to time and again to help provide people some guidance?
It can be a tricky time. And I would say, one of the challenges, what makes it a challenge, I think, and it's becoming more and more of a challenge as time goes on, is that we're really blessed in veterinary medicine that we are now starting to have a lot of the diagnostic modalities and treatment modalities that used to be only seen in human health, right? So if I have let's say I have a dog come in and I think it's slipped a disc in its back and it's, it has the possibility of permanent neurologic damage to its back legs from that, there's a very good chance that they could get an MRI done in the next 24 to 48 hours at a few different hospitals in Toronto. But, it's no secret that MRI machines are expensive and maintenance is expensive and all of that. So that type of care comes with a huge expense, right? And so no one gets a pet hoping that they're going to have some sort of bad disease, right? Or catastrophic injury. But the catastrophic and bad things do unfortunately happen. And when they do, they often need to be treated quite promptly, right? So if your dog has we'll just keep using that same example. If your dog has a slipped disc in its back, the sooner it gets surgery, the better the prognosis is for it to go back to being able to walk properly again, right? Unfortunately, having a dog with a slipped disc who needs an MRI and then back surgery and physiotherapy and all of that, it's, that those prices get in excess of $10,000, which a lot of people don't have handy, right? So I am very slowly coming around to answer your question, which is, that I think pet insurance is a great thing to have. You know, no one wants to have to use it. And if we don't, we'll complain about the cost we spend for it. But when we need it, it's really nice to have that assurance that the money is there, so that we can take care of our pets without worrying about that at the time when we need to make the tough decisions.
The knock I have heard on pet insurance is around exclusions. So this, you know, for someone who has health insurance or disability insurance, we know that there are certain rules and requirements. It's not like universal healthcare where you can go into any emergency room and they'll treat you. What should people be aware of in terms of what pet insurance will and will not cover? And I don't mean by policy. I mean, broadly speaking, it doesn't cover everything all the time to an unlimited sum.
Correct. That, and that's a great point. It's a bit difficult to talk about generalities because there are various different pet insurance plans and each one is built slightly differently, right? So I sort of joke with my clients that they're like, you know, pet insurance plans are a lot like cell phone plans, and they're all just ever so slightly different, so you can't compare them very effectively, right? But you know, invariably they will, the insurance company will ask to see the pet's medical history. They will look at what's happened in the past and sometimes go all the way back through the whole medical record to figure out what things should be excluded and not, right? So if your dog has been in, you know, for a limp, let's say 2 weeks ago, and then it comes in, you know, and then it got a little bit better, and then it comes in again, and it's limping even worse on that leg, they're probably, and in the interim, you've picked up pet insurance, they're probably going to say that's a pre-existing condition, and we're not going to cover it. Which, you know, it's not surprising. They have to make sure that they're offering a policy that they can support, right? You know, my general recommendation is that it's a good idea to get pet insurance when you've got a young dog who's, you know, got a clean bill of health. So you get a puppy or a kitten, you take it to the vet. And they look it over, and if they give it a clean bill of health, then there probably will not be any exclusions outside of whatever they exclude from the policy. Lots of policies don't include the consultation fee. So when you come in and you have your exam, a lot of policies won't include that. Gotcha. So that's something to be aware of. A lot of policies, and this is a big one, a lot of policies have very discrete rules about what they'll cover for dentistry, right? So if your dog has, you know, if your dog needs a dental cleaning, most policies don't cover just a dental cleaning. They'll cover extractions of teeth for fractures, but not for other things, right? So you know, it's important to read the policy and see what it is, but really the way to avoid exclusions is to get it from the get-go.
I want to sneak in one last question before we go here. What options do people have if they can't afford these costs? Are there supports out there?
There are some. So, you know, number one would be, you know, if pet insurance isn't a possibility and family members aren't a possibility, there are things like credit care where people can apply. Much like getting a credit card or a line of credit, but it's just for healthcare costs. There are, you know, obviously humane societies. There are places like that. One big one that I would like to put a plug in for, because not everyone knows about it, is that the Ontario Veterinary Medical Association has a charity called the Farley Foundation, and the Farley Foundation provides small but significant funding to help people on social assistance and people in households with an income of less than $25,000 with necessary. So it won't cover, you know, your annual and your vaccines, but if your dog or cat has a, or other pet has a health concern and you fall into one of the categories, your vet can apply for some supplemental funding to help pay for that, which is a really good way to try and keep pets in the household, which is
the Farley Foundation.
What we always wanted to do, the Farley Foundation.
Great. Yeah. Dr. Richardson, thank you for your time today. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Dr. Matthew Richardson is a veterinarian and owner of the Animal Clinic in Toronto. He is also the president of the Ontario Veterinary Medical Association.